Mirror, Mirror, a Good Omens fan fiction, written by Improbable Dreams 900, read by God of Laundry Baskets. Chapter 6, Deal with the Devil. The paw of the fourth and final hellhound flexed against the rock floor one last time, claws screeching, and finally fell still. Aziraphale drew in a shaking breath, chest burning, and staggered backwards into the slick, dark wall of the cavern. He gasped as his injured wing brushed the rock and took an unsteady step sideways into the wall to catch himself. The rock he'd been using as a weapon after his angelic powers had failed him slipped from his sweat-slicked hand and clattered to the floor.
"Yow, he's gonna die from blood loss, isn't he?"
A tinny voice jeered from the direction of the gate, where a dozen low-ranking demons had shoved themselves up against the bars. They'd been amusing themselves screeching at Aziraphale and offering rude commentary as he fought for his life.
"Move it! I want to see!"
"Where's your god to save you now?"
Aziraphale closed his eyes and tried to tune them out, which was easier than expected due to the pounding in his ears. His shoulder felt like it was on fire, and his head began to swim as his shirt grew heavier, soaked through with his own blood. Dizzy and lightheaded, Aziraphale tried to lean closer against the wall, but found himself taking an unsteady step backwards instead. He shifted too much weight onto his injured knee and forced his heavy eyelids open as he staggered further backwards, wings automatically fanning out as he tried to keep balance. It wasn't until Aziraphale felt several crushing pressures along the leading edge of his left wing that he realized he'd inadvertently stumbled too close to the gate.
"Get him! Bring him over here!"
Hands on his wing pulled harder, yanking Aziraphale closer. He tried to pull away, but his vision was swimming, and there was a ringing noise in his head that wouldn't stop.
Stop!
Aziraphale stammered weakly, but his protest fell on deaf ears. The demons dragged him closer to the magic-proof gate, reaching their arms between the bars and pinning his wing to the gate.
"Now pluck him like a chicken! That'll show him. I'm gonna stuff me a pillow with these."
Fresh pain tore up Aziraphale's wing as he felt his feathers torn violently out, and for a moment his head cleared. Aziraphale found his footing and yanked his wing towards himself as hard as he could, trying to rip it free of the demons at the gate.
"Grab him! You're not getting away!"
The demons tightened their grip on his wing, and Aziraphale only succeeded in wrenching his badly injured shoulder. Aziraphale gasped in pain, vision receding, and felt himself start shivering.
"Let me go."
His voice was weak and rasping, even to his own ears.
"Bring him closer. I want to help."
"How do you like that, He won't last another hour."
Aziraphale felt more feathers torn from his wing by the fistful, and he turned until he was facing the gate as much as possible, wing protesting the severe angle. He looked deep inside himself and dragged what little divine power he still had to the surface. Aziraphale staggered closer to the gate, gasping for breath as he channeled his angelic power towards his attackers, wing straining.
"I said, let go!"
Aziraphale wrapped his hand around the bars of the gate and locked his arms, leaning forward heavily. He closed his eyes and threw what power he still had left in front of him, letting it crash over the demons. They screeched, and many of the hands intent on tearing out his feathers hastily released him and retreated. Aziraphale tugged his wing free and swept it behind his back, leaning closer to the gate and still casting off divine energy.
"Back! Back! Ow!"
Aziraphale heard the demons scrabbling to leave his presence, pushing past each other as they surged back down the narrow passageway. The last of Aziraphale's power ebbed away, and he sagged against the gate, trembling with overexertion. He forced his eyes open, vision unfocused and blurry. At least for now, the demons had retreated out of his line of sight around the bend in the corner, leaving Aziraphale alone in the darkness. He rattled in another breath, and his shoulder, knee, and injured wing throbbed in time with his heartbeat. His left wing joined in, a dozen different areas searing as he felt something sticky roll down his remaining feathers. Fighting back a sob of pain, Aziraphale pushed himself away from the gate. He was shaking quite badly now, head spinning and breaths coming short and tight. He began making his way slowly back into the cavern, using the wall for support and leaning heavily against its rough surface. Aziraphale's cheeks were wet by the time he reached a patch of wall sufficiently out of reach of the gate, but also a healthy distance away from the sprawled bodies of the four hellhounds. He turned unsteadily, pressed his back to the wall, and sank slowly to the ground, letting his legs collapse under him. Once he'd reached the floor, he leaned his head back against the wall and let his eyelids slink half shut. He could feel more blood seeping out of the bite mark in his shoulder, where one of the hellhounds had done its very best to rip a chunk off, and weakly pressed his hand to the wound. He gasped with the pain of it and felt himself grow a little colder. Biting back a groan, Aziraphale ground the back of his skull into the rock wall and tried to keep himself conscious as he felt the darkness growing closer around him. He shivered again as several dark tendrils reached him and began to wrap themselves around the hollow feeling in his heart.
"Please, enlighten me, Lucifer rasped, leaning closer. "I imagine you'd like to be out of this cage," Curly said, gesturing at the horrifying box with a lightness he didn't feel. "And I imagine you'd be just pleased as punch if Crawley never came back from my world, yes?"
"Very,"
Lucifer purred. "I can do that for you," Crowley said. "I only ask for a few things."
"Name your terms, other Crawley,"
Lucifer rasped, flexing his fingers around the bars of the cage. "Firstly," Crowley said nervously, "after I've gone back through the portal, I don't want anyone else meddling with my universe, okay? Just forget we exist."
"Already forgotten."
"Secondly," Crowley said, thinking fast as he turned and paced a few steps along the island, "I'd like to appoint the next of Hell's official liaisons to Earth. Your universe is unbalanced. I'm sure you'd love to continue the reign of Hell on Earth, but you need to pull back your forces. Keep Hell to itself and let Earth recover, at least for a little while."
"That is a tall order,"
Lucifer rasped.
"But who wants that nasty old planet anyway? Well, 100 years suffice."
"Done," said Crowley, who'd been concerned that this was one point Lucifer wouldn't want to concede. Hell clearly had the upper hand in this universe, but it was destroying the Earth and everything on it. Crowley knew his first priority was getting home, but there was no harm to be done in setting this universe to rights while he was at it. "I want the demon Mephistopheles to be the liaison."
"Fine. Anything else?
"One more," Crowley said, turning back and pacing in the other direction.
the shiny obsidian surface of the island uneven under his shoes. I need information. What does Crawley want in my universe? Lucifer smiled at him from between the bars.
They say my folly was pride.
He drawled. But Crawley's folly is arrogance. Crawley frowned and waited for him to continue.
The thing about ruling hell,
Lucifer explained, leaning back in his cage,
is that all you get is hell. You can play around on Earth if you're lucky, but heaven's strictly off limits. Of course, there is one time when everything's up for grabs.
The apocalypse, Crowley said. Lucifer nodded, ravaged wings shifting behind him as he leaned closer again.
Winner takes all. So Crawley picked off the angels, one by one.
With each word, he flicked his fingers at imaginary angels.
Until the rest ran and hid in their hidey holes. So, apocalypse time. Except.
Lucifer chuckled, and it was a dark, wretched sound.
He didn't think that far ahead, did he?
He gave another short laugh, but this one seemed to catch in his throat, and he coughed wetly. Crowley swallowed nervously.
No, Antichrist? He guessed.
Lucifer spat what looked like blood onto the floor of the cage and rolled his bony shoulders.
Oh, I could provide one. No problem. But what about the final battle, Lucifer v. Michael? But Crowley went and slew the Sword of Heaven, foiled his own plan.
Lucifer seemed to think this was absurdly funny when he hacked a few more scratching laughs. Crowley waited until he had finished, trying not to look too closely at any part of Lucifer's ravaged form. So Crawley's looking for Michael, Crowley surmised. In my world, I mean, he needs Michael to fight in the final battle. Lucifer flexed one of his bony hands and nodded. How did he kill Michael in the first place? Crowley asked, still unnerved by the fact. Lucifer's expression abruptly soured, and his eyes locked on Crowley. He shifted back towards the front of his cage.
You want to know how he killed my brother? He did it right there.
Lucifer pointed out of his cage towards a stretch of the lake of fire off to his right.
Crawley got greedy, you see, and took too much power for himself. Once he tricked me into here, word of my imprisonment got back to my headstrong brother. He wanted to start the apocalypse so they could wipe little Crawley off the map. Except they couldn't get to me for that Antichrist business. So, Michael, dear brother, came down to rescue me.
Lucifer mimed a flying creature descending with his hands.
He was so close, right over there. He even figured out how the cage worked. But a tongue of fire was all it took.
Lucifer moved one hand from his crudely mimed Michael and waved it around underneath his other hand, indicating the lake of fire.
A miracle gust of wind, just enough fire to reach dear Michael's wings. And that was it. And the sword of heaven just fell in.
like a goddamn rock.
Lucifer dragged his first hand down into the depths of his mind to Fire Lake. He was staring intently at Crowley, eyes dark and unreadable. He nodded again to the stretch of lake off to his right.
Crowley killed the one person who would turn out to be indispensable. Isn't that a laugh?
Not really, said Crowley, who just wanted to leave this dreadful place as soon as possible.
Before that, Lucifer
continued uninvited, resting his forehead against the bars of his cage.
I sort of respected him, you understand. Professional respect. Crowley didn't have the raw power, but he was damn smart. He worked hard for what he got.
Lucifer rubbed his forehead against the bars, hairs sticking on the slick metal.
My opinion changed when I saw Michael vanish into this detestable pit. And do you know why?
Because you watched your potential rescuer and brother die screaming in front of you? Crowley thought bleakly to himself.
Because,
Lucifer hissed.
Crowley crossed a line. He could take hell for his own. He could lock me in this vile box, but no one kills Michael but me.
Lucifer shifted in the cage, fingernails grating along the metal as he adjusted his grip on the bars.
So, you have a deal, otherworldly serpent. So long as you ensure that smug look is wiped off his face permanently.
Crowley looked Lucifer as much in the eye as he dared, and knew that this was the best chance he had to get home. It's a deal. Aziraphale shivered. He was slipping in and out of consciousness, the pain crashing over him in waves. It had receded for the moment, and Aziraphale just sat motionless and felt the faint trickle of fresh blood rolling down his chest. He stared dimly at the dark floor of the cavern with half-closed eyes, gaze resting blankly on a clump of straw that had been soaked nearly black with blood. The demons had returned to their places at the gate, rattling the bars and jeering at him, but Aziraphale barely heard them, eyes unfocused and mind adrift. His angelic powers were all but used up, defenses as down as it was possible for them to be. The dark, clinging emptiness that lurked in hell had wrapped itself around him, and he knew he had been betrayed. It wasn't Crowley, Aziraphale told himself over and over, trying to hold the mantra in his mind even as he weaved in and out of consciousness. It wasn't Crowley. Crowley wouldn't do this. Aziraphale remembered the cold, flat look in his friend's serpentine eyes, and told himself there was no way those eyes belonged to his Crowley. Deep down, Crowley was kind, if only to a select few people, and he knew that the demon just didn't have it in him to hold such a simmering resentment of him for so long without Aziraphale knowing about it. In fact, Crowley rarely seemed to be able to keep anything from Aziraphale for long. And if he was upset with Aziraphale, then the angel was the first to know about it. It wasn't in his nature to sit and stew things over like this. And even on his worst day, Crowley had never been this ruthless. He knew Crowley, and his friend would never do this. Or maybe, said a reasonable voice in Aziraphale's head, maybe that was all part of his plan. By convincing you that he's an open book, he prevented you from looking too closely at his actual intentions. No, Aziraphale protested exhaustedly. He couldn't have been lying for that long. We were friends, our friends. I trust him.
And see where that trust got you, the voice pointed out. He tried to kill you, you know. He lured you here and left you to die.
It wasn't him, Aziraphale thought back, fingers twitching slightly against his injured shoulder, which had ceased to have any feeling some time ago. It wasn't real. He was possessed, or something. It was a trick.
But his aura was the same. You know his aura better than you know your own. And his eyes were the same. His beautiful, golden, treacherous eyes.
Stop it, Aziraphale thought, unsure where these thoughts were coming from, but wishing very dearly that they would go away. It wasn't him. I know it wasn't.
His aura, his eyes, his wings, all identical. How would you fake the aura?
Aziraphale shifted slightly and let out a gasp of pain, followed by something that sounded awfully like a whimper. The demons at the gate called fresh insults and rattled the bars. Aziraphale's vision swam alarmingly for almost a full minute, and it took him another few shaking, shallow breaths before he could piece together another coherent thought, brain fuzzy and heavy.
So it was him, Aziraphale picked up his thread at last.
But not him, him. Must have been possessed.
If he were possessed, his aura would have been different, the voice pointed out without missing a beat. He wasn't possessed.
Aziraphale hazily recalled the feeling of Crowley's aura all around him, and shivered weakly at the memory. Crowley's aura had been far colder than he'd ever felt it, but it undoubtedly had been Crowley's. There was some indefinable quality written into the very fabric of Crowley's being, in the shape of him as molded by their father, and it had been so achingly familiar. Then he was blackmailed or manipulated, Aziraphale thought tiredly. Maybe they threatened his life.
Except you looked him in the eye, the voice nagged. If he didn't mean what he said, you would have seen it in his eyes, the regret. He'd given you some sort of sign. You know he would have.
Aziraphale wished the voice would just shut up and let him die in peace.
You could see the truth of it in his eyes, the voice reminded him, returning the image to his mind.
Crowley's eyes appeared before him, beautiful and golden, but devoid of any warmth, leaving only a yawning, cold abyss with the instincts of a predator. And he's under a spell, Aziraphale tried, wincing as his injured knee sent a spasm of pain up his leg, fresh blood oozing to the surface. Or he's been brainwashed. He needs my help.
You're reaching, the voice informed him coolly. What spell could do that? In 2 days is awfully quick to brainwash him into murdering you in cold blood, if he really was as loyal as you're thinking, of course. Though demons aren't exactly known for being loyal, are they?
This one is, Aziraphale thought, but it took longer this time to get the necessary energy to form the thought. He was exhausted down to his very bones, but was afraid that if he fell asleep now, he wouldn't wake up again.
So what if you don't wake up? The voice asked. Crowley doesn't care about you. He never has.
And it's not like you have anything else to live for. A twinge of pain ran through Aziraphale's shoulder, and a small sound escaped his lips before he could bite it back. He wants you dead. You should oblige him. Aziraphale's fingers twitched again, weakly, and he made an effort to force his eyes open further. No! How are you going to spend the rest of eternity, Sitting around in your bookshop all alone? Going to the Ritz in St. James all by yourself? Mourning the memory of something that was never truly yours? Aziraphale tried to swallow, but his throat was very tight. Yes. Aziraphale could barely think straight, and he didn't know what it was he wanted anymore. Maybe the voice was right. Maybe he should just fall asleep and never wake up again. What was left for him in the world as it was? Hold that thought, said the voice in Aziraphale's head. You cared a great deal for Crowley. Maybe you even loved him. And he betrayed you and left you for dead. Aziraphale found a few more tears in his tired, pain-racked body, and they began to roll down his cheeks. You trusted him, the voice continued. You gave him everything and never asked for anything in return. But he didn't want any part of you, not once he got to know you well enough. He allowed you to get attached and then deliberately betrayed you in the way he knew would hurt you the most. He destroyed you and then left you for dead. He has killed you, Aziraphale. Aziraphale's eyes were burning, and there was a gaping, throbbing feeling in his chest that the hellhounds hadn't caused. He killed you, the voice repeated. So how about you live long enough so you can repay the favor? Aziraphale sniffed, chest and shoulder burning with the movement. Just imagine the look on his face, the voice continued. He thinks you're nothing, so how about you show him that you're something after all? Aziraphale gazed dimly across the cavern as a suggestion settled into his muddled, pain-addled brain and thought that maybe this would bring peace to the hole in his heart. End of chapter 6.